You know, it's $9. I think they're having Outback come in and cater it. So it's a pretty neat little deal. You know, it's kind of fun to do. How are y'all feeling about your Bible reading plan? Is it working for you? Are you all doing it? Okay. What are you finding? Tell me a little bit about, you know, what have you found the most enjoyable about it? What do you like the most about it? Did you? There you go. You know, that's right. That's right. You know, how many of you guys, let's be honest here, have not started it yet? Anybody not started it yet? The Bible reading plan. Don't panic if you haven't. You can always catch up, okay? I find for myself it's really great because I'm on the road a lot. I can listen to a lot, you know, so it's really good for me that way. And does anybody in here want to share what God's doing in your life right now? Since Grow Track 3? Nobody? Day, James.
I actually have been praying really hard for God to let me know where I'm at my job is where I'm supposed to be. Uh-huh. And going forward, it was supposed to be where I was supposed to go. And the owner just called me today. He's been at a shoe show for the past week. Called me today, right after I finished my afternoon prayer, which I have a long set for.
Yeah. Cool.
So right after I
amen. Yeah, it's really neat when God answers a prayer like that, you know. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else have something that God's been doing, especially since you've been reading and doing that each week? Are you seeing God do any specific moves in your life? Maybe, you know, y'all are pretty mature people in the Lord already by the time you get to Grow Track 3, you know, but God never stops. He keeps working. Yeah. Well, praise God.
I've been going through this, and then we did the fasting last week and everything. I was like, oh, my gosh, Lord, you're doing something. So I was like, keep
thinking. Yeah. Let me say something, too, in reference to that. You know, oftentimes when we, as other believers or leaders or whatever, and someone asks us to pray for them, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes the enemy will say to you, you're not qualified to pray for them. Has that ever happened to you? You know, don't ever believe that. Pray, be obedient to pray, because you don't know how God's going to use you. He just does sometimes, you know, in spite of us, he uses us. Isn't that the glory and the grace of God? That's a good thing about him. He's so loving. He loves us in spite of us. You know what I mean? And that's pretty cool, you know. I would ask that you guys, and we're going to have Jolene come on up in just a second here, but we've got a lot of things going on in the church this week. With the biggest thing, I think, not the biggest thing, but one of the biggest things, is the funeral for Billie Jean. This Saturday is going to be a very tough time for her family. I'm sure they'll rejoice through it all, okay, because we just know how they are. But just be praying for grace and God's grace to be over them, the peace to be over them this time. It's supposed to be Jeremy saying he thinks it's going to be probably one of the biggest funerals we've ever had here. So, yeah, could very well be. You know, a lot of people knew her, so it's pretty neat. You know, you get to talking in the community, and I'm out about quite a bit and asking people, did you know her? You'd be amazed how many people knew her.
You know, people have come to know her just by sharing her story on Facebook, where that they didn't actually, like Josh had said on his Facebook, that he never met her, mm-hmm. but he got to know her through her journey.
Yeah, me too. It's amazing. I met her one time, and that was when she was the deacons went over one night to pray over her. It was when she was struggling at the beginning. That's the only time I ever really met her. Yeah, and you know, but you could tell the presence of God was just all over that woman. And it was so neat to see that, you know. But anyhow, tonight we're going to be talking about death to pride. And I'm going to get Jolene up here because she's going to preach to us. We're going to get you up here. Okay, we can move over a little bit and we're going to get you up here. All right, let's welcome Jolene. Y'all are in for a treat.
Thank you. I'm working on the treadmill, but I still got some work to do so I can start sliding through those spots. I'm excited to be in Grow Track 3 with you guys. There's only one problem. I don't see the time, so you're going to keep me going? Because, yeah, they swarmed me in Grow Track 1. I could just look straight ahead. But how many of you guys are excited about being here tonight? Yes. I'm excited, again, to be here with you all, not so you can hear me, but I am excited about what God is doing in each and every one of you guys' lives. You know, I believe in the mission of Timber Creek, which is your God-given potential. And, you know, I did ministry for 16 and a half years, and I got frustrated in ministry because the people were not growing. But isn't God amazing? Because he knew just where to plant me. Yeah, and so now, I mean, it's amazing. And so I'm just super excited when I get to see people just truly take next steps and begin to fulfill their God-given purpose. Let's go to God again in prayer. Again, Father, we are so grateful to be here tonight. But more importantly, God, we are grateful, God, that you have allowed us to be here because this is your house. And even as Pastor Jeremy always reminds us, you're the host. We are really the guest. When we consider life and consider how our lives were apart from you, we're so grateful, God, that you continue to love us. We're so grateful, God, that regardless as to our past, it never counts at your purpose for our lives. And so now here we all are gathered together, God, including myself, God, still with open hearts surrendered and continuing to surrender to you because, God, we truly want to be about your purpose for our lives. So, Father, I pray that every heart will be receptive to the planting of your words. I pray, God, because I know this is a tough subject, but I pray, Father, and I ask in the name of Jesus that people would truly be open and allow you to speak to whatever areas in our lives that you want to speak. I decree and I declare that we're going to receive it, Father. In Jesus' name, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I have to be honest, I'm never really nervous whenever I teach. But I'm a little nervous because you guys come up talking about, you know, oh, I'm glad you're teaching. And I'm like, you know, God, help me because I don't want to get caught up in pride. I'm teaching about pride, you know. And that can happen, you know. You people praise you, and the Bible said let another man praise you and not praise come out of your own mouth. And so I'm like, okay, stay focused, Jolene, because, you know. But again, we're talking about pride tonight. This is another section where you guys are going into where you're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks about death. You're going to be talking about death to pride, death to self, and then death to sin. And so I've been praying and fasting for you guys because I know this can be difficult. This can be difficult when it comes to pride. But this section of teaching is about, again, the necessary deaths that every Christ follower must die in order to truly live a life of complete surrender and obedience to God. So death is necessary. Oftentimes, people look at death as a hard thing, and it can be. It can be a physical death, you know, the death of loved ones, you know, you're having to release them and let them go. Just the idea that you'll never see them again. So death can be a sad thing, very traumatic. But death for the believers is beneficial. Even though it's painful, death for the believers is beneficial, even as it relates to physical death. Because the Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle should dissolve, then we have a building not made by hand, but a building in heaven. That's King James, so y'all might need to pull out your translation. And so even for the believers, death is beneficial because death is the doorway into the presence of the Lord. There's no other way to get there except Jesus comes back. But even as it relates to death to pride, death to self, and death to sin, it's beneficial, it's necessary. Because if we are to truly, truly surrender and be obedient to God and do what he's asking us to do, we're going to have to do some dying. And death can be a difficult thing. But again, it's necessary. This teaching addresses pride tonight, which is a major hindrance to our spiritual growth. When we have pride in our hearts, God is unable to do what he wants to do in our lives. Defeating the sin of pride is a crucial step in pursuing lives of deep obedience that will cost you something. I'm quite sure you guys have already heard that pursuing lives of deep obedience, that's going to cost you something. Students must learn to recognize and address pride in their lives in order to grow in Christ-like conviction, conduct, and character, in order to surrender to God, walk in obedience, and live the abundant life. Death is necessary. If we're going to live the life that Jesus came and died for us to live, if we're going to experience the abundant life, we're going to have to die. I keep talking about this because it's essential. There's no way around it. In order for this teaching and ultimately Grow Track 3 as a whole to have an effect on our lives, we must have a desire to know God more. We must have a willingness to do an honest examination of our lives. An honest examination. There are going to be some things that God is going to show you. He's already begun to show you some things. But there are going to be things, even during the course of this teaching tonight, that God is going to show you, and you can't ignore it. You have to just embrace it and do what is necessary so that you can remove these obstacles out of your life. So we have to have a willingness to do an honest examination of our lives. We also have to know and believe that God has so much more for us in our relationship with him as well as other people. He has so many great things that he wants to do in our hearts, and he has an amazing destiny that's waiting for us to fulfill. You see, we often talk about waiting on God, and we do have to wait on God, but the truth of the matter is God is waiting on us. Destiny is waiting on each and every one of us, and it's going to require our obedience. It's going to require us to put to death some things. I think you have this scripture in Jeremiah 29 and 11. It said, God is speaking to his people who's in Babylon. They're captives in Babylon because of their disobedience. But God uses the prophet Jeremiah to tell his people, listen to what he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God is saying to his people, first of all, I know your situation, and it may be painful, but regardless of your situation, I still have a plan for your lives. And that's good news to somebody, because regardless as to where you are right now, God is still saying, but I have a greater plan for your life. I have a greater plan for your life. And what the enemy wants us to do, he wants us to put a period in our story where God has only put a comma. Because there are so many more things that God has in store for each and every one of you guys. And this is what I love about Timber Creek. We are truly about your God-given potential, because we know that God has greatness in store for you. In order to ensure that we become who God desires for us to become, we must become aware of the danger of something that has been around ever since the beginning, and that is pride. We saw it, you know, right there in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve was in a perfect situation, but ultimately because of pride, they disobeyed, you know, what God had instructed them to do. So we have to be aware of pride. The hardest thing about teaching on pride is, guess what? No one wants to admit they have pride. You know? I mean, people will admit that they struggle with drugs, alcohol, sex, but you don't hear people saying, you know, I'm really struggling with pride. And one of the reasons is because drinking, alcohol, that, those are sins that people can see, but it's the hidden sins of the heart, like jealousy, envy. We don't want to admit because we don't think people see them, but more importantly, God sees them. So pride can be a tough teaching to teach on, but we're going to talk about it. Let me ask a question. Can somebody give me a definition of pride? I'm going to take about two or three.
Lifting oneself up.
Somebody else?
Not admitting when you're at fault.
Yes. Not admitting when you're at fault. How about this? Pride is the ultimate escape from reality. It denies sin as a problem. It exalts self and self-effort. It denies a need for God and refuses his help. It attributes accomplishments to human ability rather than God's gift. Another definition, pride is an admission of weakness. It secretly fears all competition and dreads all rivals. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having it more than the next man. Now, I know y'all got some coworkers like that. It's not you, you know. Along the path of life, the enemy has dug and cleverly covered pitfalls of pride. These pitfalls are designed to prevent our progress. Now, Jesus said in John 10:10, he says, I'm going to see, so y'all in Grow Track 3, so y'all should know some of these scriptures. So what does John 10:10 say? What did Jesus say the enemy comes to do? Look at you guys, y'all get an A+. Yeah. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I came that you would have life and have it to the fullest. So the enemy, he cleverly digs and cover up these pitfalls to pride because he wants to stop our progress. Any way he can, he's very clever. He's not dumb. He's a very clever enemy.
Pride says I can do all things through my own strength.
Huh?
Pride says I can do all things through me.
Yes, but I like what you said. Pride said, I can do all things through my own strength. Because how many, you know, even in the garden, how Satan came and he gave part truth, you know, to what God said. And see, that script, what you just said, it sounded just like, you know, Philippians 4:13? Yes, but she said through my own strength. That's good, I like that. So let's look at three pitfalls of pride. We get into the fill in the blanks. Pride prevents restoration of relationships. Why is that? Yes. Are y'all saying this based on experience? But yes, you're right. Pride, you know, doesn't want to admit that you're wrong. In order for there to be restoration in a relationship, there first has to be forgiveness. In order for something that's been damaged to be restored, there has to be true forgiveness. Let's add that true forgiveness. Because how many of you know people will say, I've forgiven you? And some of y'all, you have your spouse sitting beside you, so, you know, just look at me and smile, don't? Yeah. But, you know, yeah, you get yourself in trouble. But how many, I've been guilty of telling people I've forgiven them. And as soon as they, you know, make me mad, I remind them of everything they done. So that wasn't true forgiveness. But when I really humbled myself, then God was able to bring that relationship or those relationships back together. But pride uses justified unforgiveness. Justified unforgiveness is what? You're justifying why you're not forgiving a person. Justified unforgiveness or an unwillingness to apologize causes us to slip into this pitfall, making us unable to go forward where God wants us to go. Proverbs 13:10 says, pride only breeds quarrels. You see, pride exalts other people's issues, other people's faults, and other people's failures while ignoring our own. And that's going to only lead to more disagreements because everybody wants to be right. Nobody wants to be wrong. Do y'all have the forgiveness? Yeah, yes, because it's filling the blanks. Let's look at the forgiveness ladder of maturity. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm feeling okay now. Yeah. But guess what? I'm not caught up in pride because without the Lord, I can't do this. You know, Solomon says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. So I understand that without the Lord, then everything I do is in vain. So, but the forgiveness ladder of maturity is from the bottom, and then we're going to move up. The first one is, I may forgive you if you're lucky. I may forgive you if you're lucky. How many people have said that? Yeah. I will forgive you when you apologize for your part. How many people have said that? Yeah. Okay, I apologize for my part. Aren't you going to apologize for yours, Mark? I'm just saying what Shelly would have said. I felt you, Shelly. You've been wanting to say that all week long, so I said it for you. Ah, both of them. So, let's move on. Because we're supposed to be reconciling relationships, not tearing them apart, so. I'm sorry for what I did to you. I was wrong. Can you see, you know, how it's getting better? And the ultimate maturity is when we apologize to someone when we don't even feel that we were at blame. Oh, y'all have it all up there, so that's good. So have God ever asked you, or not asked, instructed you to apologize to somebody? You really didn't think you was at fault. And can you be honest? And you kind of argued with the Lord, like, God, for real? Didn't you not see what they did?
I didn't do anything.
Yes, I didn't. It wasn't me. You know.
Why should I?
Yes. But really, it's really about us and our relationship with the Lord more than it's about that person. Because God has had me to go and apologize to people, and they was like, you didn't do nothing. Then I go back to the Lord, okay, what are you, now, you know, you didn't have me to say this, and they said, see, I told you I didn't do nothing. But it's teaching us humility. Yes. Yes. That's awesome. Oh, yes, it hurts.
But it ultimately all comes down to the fact that we don't deserve to be forgiven, and God chose to forgive us. He didn't do anything wrong.
That's it.
The big kicker behind pride is people, it takes humility.
Yes.
And humbling yourself in front of another person, especially in male culture, is something you don't, that you're taught not to do when you're younger, unless you grow up in a Christian household. And so being humble in front of other people is hard for some people.
That's true. It's true. It's true. All right, come on, let's smile. I hear y'all over there. Is there some friction? Okay, let's move on. The second thing is pride prohibits surrender. Pride causes hardening of our hearts, and we resist the work that God is trying to do in our hearts. So pride prohibits surrender. A prideful heart tells even the Lord, I'm good. I'm okay. God is, you know, leading us to do this, that, or the other, and we're like, but God, I'm okay. It's not me. It's her. It's him. And we don't want to surrender. Proverbs 6:16-17, it says this. These six things the Lord hates, and these seven are repulsive to him. He begins with a proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. And he goes on to list the other sins, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. He talks about one that sows seeds of discord, you know. But at the top of the list, he says pride. He puts pride in the same category with all these other sins. That's just how serious the Lord takes pride. Like clay that needs water to be molded properly, we need to surrender to God properly so that he can mold our hearts. And we will be who God has called us to be. Now, you have some Play-Doh at your table. We're not going to use it right now, but I hope to use it if I don't run out of time. Number three, pride believes my plan is better than God's. Now, we would never say it out loud, you know. We would never admit, you know, that God, I know what's best for me and you don't. But our actions actually say it. Even though we don't verbalize it, our actions says it for us. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction, and arrogance leads to a downfall. Pride always leads us away from God. Pride is a serious thing, people of God. And so we have to deal with it. So how do we avoid the pitfall of pride? Everybody getting, you fill in the blanks? Okay. Number one, we have to admit that pride is in our life. We have to recognize it. James 4:6 says, and he gives grace graciously, as the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God stiff arms those that are prideful. He takes pride seriously. Pride hinders what God desires to do in our lives. That's why it's so important, people of God, that we admit it and we deal with it. Before a person can really correct a problem, a pattern of behavior, they have to humbly admit they have the problem. And to admit a problem is to acknowledge a shortcoming. Prideful thinking is a major barrier to recognizing and correcting any type of problem we have. This is something that I've learned about God, is God cannot heal what we keep concealed. Because he's not going to force us. As long as we're saying, I'm okay, I don't have a problem, then we're not releasing it to God to heal us. And we, how many people have been through encounter? That you had stuff concealed for years, but through the process and encounter, you released it to God, you opened it up, you laid it at the feet of Jesus, and you're healed. The same thing with pride. We have to admit it. The second thing is we must repent of our pride. What is repentance? So it's not just emotions, it's an action. We have a scripture here in 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, verses 25 and 26. And it's talking about Hezekiah, who was king of Judah. Verse 25, 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, verse 25 and 26 says, "But Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came upon him in Judah and Jerusalem." You see, when we have pride in our hearts, when we don't repent, not only does it affect us, but it affects those that's connected to us. Are you guys getting it? You know, and the same thing, when we're obedient to the Lord, not only do we enjoy the blessings, but even those that are connected to us. So because of pride, his heart being prideful, the wrath of God came upon him, Judah, and Jerusalem. But the Bible says Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride that was in his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So they humbled themselves so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now this is what was going on. How many of you remember when Hezekiah was at the point of death, and God sends the prophet Isaiah to tell him to get his house in order because you're going to surely die? So what did Hezekiah do? He turned his face to the wall, he prayed, and the Lord extended his life. In fact, God told the prophet Isaiah to tell him he's going to give him 15 more years. And so I love what the Amplified Bible says in 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, verse 25. I'm going somewhere. Plus, Pastor Taylor have this in the notes. So I'm not going to get in trouble. So in 2 Chronicles, the 32nd chapter, verse 25, the Amplified Bible, the classic edition, says, "Hezekiah did not make return to the Lord according to all the benefits done for him, because his heart became proud at such a spectacular response to his prayer." In other words, he prayed, God answered his prayer, and Hezekiah got caught up in pride because God did something spectacular for him. We have to be careful, people of God, that when God blesses us, because Satan is very cunning, we can take God's glory and begin to try and use it for our own vainglory. Are you with me? And that's what happened to Hezekiah. But God dealt with him. The third thing is we must choose to surrender. We're talking about avoiding a pitfall to pride. I got to speed up. We must choose to surrender to God's work in our hearts. You see, surrender is a choice. It's a choice. God is not going to force any of us. How many people in here God forced you to surrender your life to Christ? Your grandma tried to force you, and your mama. But Revelations 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I just stand at the door and knock." You have to open up the door to your heart, and then he comes in. So surrender is a choice. You have your Play-Doh. I keep wanting to say Clay-Doh, but it's Play-Doh. I didn't tell y'all to open that up. No, I'm playing. Liz is gonna get something, but I'm trying to see. That's okay. Okay. So, do you guys have Jeremiah the 18th chapter verses 1-6 in your books? Let's look at this. So the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go down to the potter's shop, and I will speak to you there. So I did as he told me and found the potter working at his will. We want you to acknowledge your pride. We want you to deal with it. But I also want to encourage you guys that God is a God of another chance. Because Jeremiah says, he goes down to the potter's house. He's watching the potter work at the wheel. He says, but the jar he was making did not turn out as he had hoped. So he crushed it into a lump of clay again and started over. Ain't you so glad that God, he didn't start over with us. He met us right where we were. But guess what? He didn't discard us neither. When we didn't turn out the way he had purpose for us, I know I was going a total opposite way. But I'm so grateful that he didn't give up on me. But guess what? Some of the pressures of life was just really God crushing us, allowing life to crush us, not to break us, but to bless us. How many people would be honest that some of the pains of life caused you to turn to the Lord? And as we surrender, God is able to do with our hearts the same thing that the potter does with the clay. We're talking about surrendering. I'm not going to read all of these scriptures, but in Luke 9:23, Jesus is telling his disciples, if you're going to be my followers, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Surrender is a daily decision. Salvation is one time. Sanctification is a lifelong process. Surrender is something we have to choose daily to do. Yes. Sometime every customer, every transaction. Yes. So I want you guys to remember that surrender is a daily decision. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I die daily. It doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter what you have to let go of. It doesn't matter who you have to let go of. Oh, God is going to require some stuff out of us. See, I've been through here, and I know what God required from me. And he's still requiring me to give up stuff. And some of the stuff that we have to release, J.N., is painful. But even though it's painful, now it's going to bless us. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. So the fourth thing we have to do to avoid the pitfall of pride is we have to put on humility. Humility is the antidote for pride. Colossians 3:12 says, put on then as God's chosen ones. Am I going too fast? Holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. So we have to put on humility daily. Can anyone give me a definition of humility? Mm-hmm. Yes. Huh? Yes. Give me one more. That's good. That's good. All of these are great. Humility is also having a proper a proper estimation of yourself, a proper perspective of who you are. Some people think humility is having a poor perception of who you are. You know, there are some people, they don't think you're humble unless you're suffering. And you look like you've been out and been got frostbites. And, you know, I know we have different ethnicity, but if I don't put lotion on, I'm going to be ashy. You know, like for real, you know. And there are some people, you know, yeah, y'all with me? So y'all didn't know I was funny, did you? But humility is not, you know, having a poor perception of yourself. It's seeing yourself through the lenses of Scripture, through the way God says you are. Humility is thinking more highly of others than you do of yourself. Paul said in Romans 12 and 3, he says, don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to. And somebody said, humility is putting others before yourself. So let me get back over here. I'm getting off track. So we're talking about putting on humility. What are some of the ways that we can daily put on humility, or some things we can do to remind us to be humble? Yes. Yes. Okay. Philippians 2 and 3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. There is a thing, false humility, where there are the actions, but they don't line up with the heart. But God want our actions to reflect our hearts. And the thing, one of the most powerful scriptures is when God sent Samuel to anoint Jesse to be king, to anoint David to be king over Israel. He sent him to Jesse's house. And some of y'all, you know the story. Jesse had, I believe, 8 sons, and he started with the oldest, and they all, you know, looked the part, and poor little old David is out there in the field with the sheep. And God, and Samuel says, while men look at the outer appearance, God does what? He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. So God knows our heart. So let's make sure that our actions are a reflection of our hearts. And if it's not, that's okay. Because God is a God of another chance. He's the potter, we are the clay. Just allow him to mold you into the person he wants you to be. Yes. You know why? Because David knew what it was to repent. He was quick to repent. And that's powerful. Not just, it wasn't emotions, but he wanted his actions to glorify God. Okay. In John 12 and 24, Jesus says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, I don't want to rush through this, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Just one grain, never anything more. But if it dies, it produces much grain and yields a harvest. We can remain one grain, but God has so much more for us. There's a harvest for each and every one of our lives, but we have to be willing to die. Not the physical death, but die to pride, die to self, die to sin in general. I love what Pastor Tay always says, what you feed will live. We feed humility when we apologize to others, when we forgive others, when we go with someone else's idea. As long as it's moral and it's glorifying God, we feed humility when we celebrate someone else's win. When we celebrate others, even if they don't celebrate you. Now that's true humility. The fifth thing is follow God's lead. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things, fenced in and hidden, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. So we need to follow God's lead. Proverbs 3, I know this in King James, so y'all might want to get your phones out. Anybody else in here, you learned scripture King James? Yeah, well, Tim McQuickton almost converted me to every other translation. But Proverbs 3, verse 5, 6, and 7, most of you all know it. Who knows Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6? Did y'all hear what she said? Do you know, how many people know verse 7 without looking it up? Because most of the time, we stop at verse 6. But verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Because we, and even as we've already talked about it, we can sometimes think our way is the best way. But Solomon is saying, no, no, your way is not the best way. We need to follow God's lead. And sometimes God's lead, God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us by way of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit. God speaks to us through other believers, especially though our spiritual leadership. And so sometimes we're asking God, what is it that you want me to do? And God may use a spiritual leader to speak into your life, but if we have pride in our hearts, sometimes we can miss what God is wanting to do. Are y'all with me? Y'all got quiet. Okay. So let's look at the benefits of a pride-free life, and we're going to be through. What time do we have? Because... Okay, so the benefit of a pride-free life is, number one, enjoy healthy, full relationships with those you love the most. Another benefit is to enjoy a feast of fruit on the path of your follow. Enjoy a feast of fruit on the path of your follow. And we see in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 22 and 23, it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we are surrendered to the Lord, we're able to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. When we are surrendered, the Holy Spirit is able to do what he needs to do in our lives. Versus when we're not surrendered, the Bible says we can actually quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. So it's not that we don't have the Holy Spirit, but we can actually hinder what God desires to do in our lives when our hearts are full of pride. But when we humble ourselves, are you guys with me? We can experience that. And when you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you're not easily offended. When you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, even if you are offended, you quickly forgive. Ah, that's good. I had to do it, trust me, Tuesday. Yeah? Yes, oh yes, oh yes. I know it. And I had been fasting on Saturday. And I fasted Sunday. And I fasted Monday. And bam, Tuesday. But guess what? Hey, I did not go ghetto. I really didn't. I smiled. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I was at peace. Yeah. But seriously. I'm telling you, yeah. See, it can be tough, but it can be done. Because when we depend on the strength of the Lord, we're able to do anything and everything that God asks us to do. Because this is what I've learned about God, and this is for free. God will never ask you to do anything he doesn't equip you to do. When Jesus says, love, forgive your enemies, you're able to do it because it's the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. I'm able to love people that hate me because of the love of God in my heart. Okay. The third, I don't want to overlook this. A pride-free life is a life of meekness, disinterest, not uninterest, but disinterest, which means to be impartial. When you're living a pride-free life, you can be picked over, looked over, even left out. It doesn't bother you. Or can we just be honest, it doesn't bother you as much. Because we realize that our value is set because of who we are in Christ and not what we do. Enjoy living in this is the third one, the benefits of a pride-free life. Enjoy living in the center of God's perfect will for your life. You're accomplishing your God-given potential, and ultimately, you're reaching your true destiny. And I believe that's what's going on with each and every one of you guys in here tonight. Conclusion. Let's summarize it. You cannot be who God has called you to be. You cannot do what God wants you to do in his fullness if you have pride in your life. Pride prevents your surrender. Pride prevents your repentance. Pride prevents you from forgiving others. And pride prevents you from following God. So, the reason, Mark, what time is it? Because my... Okay. I went off because I was one of the original ones that went through Grow Track. So we started out with Pastor Tay. I mean, we were just hooked to her hip. Wherever she went, we went. It was like Naomi and Ruth. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. So, you know, we went through Encounter. We went through all the Grow Track. So when Pastor Stephen taught this lesson, probably, 2 or 3 years ago, he actually gave us some Play-Doh. I still have mine. I just went off and forgot it. And so mine, yeah, it's got a little mold on it, I think. I forgot to shut the top back down on it, but it's hard. So what I really want you guys to see, you can take it out, because it's going back to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, verse 6, I believe, where he's talking about how God had him to go down to the potter's house. Are y'all with me? Hers is that yours flat?
Oh, I made it flat and put a little smile on it.
Okay. Well, I thought y'all's flat. Well, okay. But seriously, the illustration really is about, you know, us being the clay in the hand of the potter, which is God. In order for clay to be moldable, water, you know, is combined with water, and, you know, you're able, it's squishy. You can kind of mold it into a patty cake with a smiley face, and I don't know what a heart. Oh, that's sweet. You know, you can mold it. The same thing, when we are surrendered to God, when our hearts are surrendered, he's able to mold us into the people he wants us to be. But if I had my little Play-Doh, it's hard, or it's falling all apart. Then it's very difficult to mold. And it's the same thing. When our hearts are not surrendered to the Lord, it's difficult. Not that he cannot do it, because God can do anything. But God gives us a free will. And so it's difficult for him to mold us. Yes. So I want you guys to hold on to this. And I really, this can be a great reminder. You can put it somewhere. You know, I would advise you to put it back into a Bible, because with that smiley face, I don't know if it's going to do what it needs to do. Lord, help us. I wasn't expecting this. I love it, though. But seriously, I think it'll be a great reminder. If you looked at this every day, even once a week, you know, even as the Lord leads you, is to get it out. Even because what I did with mine, I hadn't used mine in about a month. It's not that I didn't need God to deal with my heart, but oftentimes, especially when I was really being challenged, I would get mine out, and as I would pray, I would just, because this was a representation of my heart, and I would just, you know, Lord, you know, mold me, you know, make me into the person you want me to be. And so that's really what this is for. Because, again, we are clay in the hand of the potter. And even if it didn't turn out the way he wanted it to at first, if our lives didn't, guess what? He's still a gracious father. And he doesn't give up on us. At this time, I'm going to bring Mark back up. I really hope you guys really, really got something out of this. And he's going to further instruct you. But I plead with you guys, be open so God can do what he needs to do in all of your lives. What happens in here stays in here.
Right. There you go. That's right, you know. How many of you guys remember the song, Change My Heart, Oh God, Make It Ever True. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. And then what's the verse? You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. And that's what my prayer is for you guys this week, okay? Is that he will touch our hearts, that we will be molded, and that he'll make us into what he wants us to be. And you know, one of the things when you were talking about the clay gets dry, how do we get it not to be dry again? Just by molding it. You have to add water to it, you know. And I guess you could use the scripture, so to speak, as that's the water. Okay, if you don't put the water in, you're gonna get dry. Okay, and we all are guilty of that. I mean, you know, we get busy. We get running, you know, and before you know it, God comes last in the day sometimes. How many of you ever done that? Yeah, I'll be the first to admit, you know, there's times that at the end of the day, oh, Lord, I've, you know, put you off, and I'm going to spend my last part of my day when he should be the very first part of your day. But I encourage you to take that and run with it. Go into your faith in action here, okay? We don't have time to do it at the tables here tonight. Okay, but we're going to go through this just real quickly for you. It's your homework for this next week. It says, first question on there is, describe an area of your life, work, a relationship with your spouse or kids or a friendship in which pride is hurting you. How is it hurting you? What can you do about it? So give some time this week just to think about those questions and then ask them. Maybe next week, if we have time, we can share a little bit about what, you know, what you might want to share. I'm not going to ask you to get up and embarrass yourself or anything like that, but you know, I think we're all grown up enough in the Lord that we all know we've got areas. Everybody has areas, you know what I mean? So let's just grow in it. That's what's important about it. Pride, the next one is, pride is independence, humility is dependence. In what ways are you living independently from the life God designed for you, and what do you need to lay down and sacrifice to the Lord so that you might be totally independent on him? All right, one thing I'm finding is, as I walk with the Lord, is that if we don't depend on him, we're going to have a pretty rough go of it, okay? Because he is the only way. I mean, the world can tell you, you know, There's other ways, but there's no other way. It's just the way it is. And then how can you offer yourself to the Lord and surrender this week? Just think about it. Take one area, you know, just take one area that you know you're struggling and then offer him that. Fast and pray about it or whatever you need to do and then ask God to help you out in that area, okay? And then sit back and watch him do it, all right? How can you be like clay in the potter's hands, okay? Ask the Lord to mold you and shape you into your God-given potential. And that's one of our core things at our church here is that we want to see people reach God's given potential for them, all right? And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Even Grow Track 3, you guys have gone a long way from 1 to 2 to 3, but it's going to get even be more and more and more that God's just going to take you and use you. And then when we get done with this class, there's going to be some leaders in this class, the people that are going to want to go out and help others to go to the next step, okay? That's pretty cool. Don't forget to do your reading for this next week, okay? And that's in the back of your book. And then select one scripture to memorize this week. Did anyone memorize the scripture last week? Hey, James, what was your scripture that you memorized? What was it? All right. Is that the message you learned about it? Or Amplified? NIV. Okay, good deal. So, all right. Well, let's pray tonight. And thanks, Jolene. We appreciate you. Give her a hand. She did a great job tonight. You know, not trying to give you a prideful head or anything like that, because I know you better than that. But anyway, so let's just pray. Father, we pray blessings over each one of these families represented here, each individual person, Father, that's represented. We pray, Lord God, that this would be a week that we can glorify you. Father, as we come up to the, throughout the rest of the week, up through Sunday, we just pray, Lord, blessings over every single person. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them, that they would hear you, that they would hear your voice, and that we would all grow and draw closer to you, Father God. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Next week, we'll have a sign-up sheet. I forgot to tell you this for potluck. Potluck will be week 6. Okay, so be ready to sign up to bring some food, all right? Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.